I am Plante on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Angela Magpantai joins me now. She's created and will be performing It Is For When You Meet Me, a main stage presentation for the Hold On Let Go Festival. The two performances are Wednesday the 4th and Saturday the 7th of February at the Russian Hall on Campbell Street. I'll ask Angela about the show, which looks at the Filipino cultural phenomenon of gift-giving, pasalubong, especially from Filipinos abroad to relatives and loved ones back home. Angela also looks at the ubiquitous Balikbayan box, a large cardboard box that is packed to the brim with toiletries, canned goods, clothes, towels, and other sundries and shipped to the Philippines. The piece is an audience interactive show. Visit holdonletgo.ca for tickets and information. Angela Magpantai is a first-generation Canadian originating from the Philippines who graduated from Simon Fraser University with a BFA in theater performance. She has worked internationally as a performer and collaborator and has worked as an assistant director. She was interim artistic director of Rice and Beans Theater in 2025. We spoke last week. Please welcome to the Plante on the Line program, Angela Magpantai. Ms. Magpantai, good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. Is it for When You Meet Me? It's such a great title because there's so much there. For you, when people ask you what it means or what it means to you the most, what do you tell them?
For me, It Is For When You Meet Me, that line, it is a direct translation for the word pasalubong. That's what I think about first. Filipino identity, It Is For When You Meet Me. And also, I think about the accumulation of the self. For us, as we navigate, I think in general, not just Filipinos, but for humans in general, just navigating through this world, we change our identities and our relationships. And so part of the show is also meeting a person who has been changed through transformation, meeting a Balikbayan, not a Balikbayan box, but a Balikbayan who has been transformed through journey. So It Is For When You Meet Me, the title, is an accumulation of several things.
Yeah, see, I took it to mean like an accumulation of stuff that you put together if you're in this country, for example, and then you send it to your loved ones elsewhere. And I've had it where, in my experience of family members who are planning, say, a vacation there at Christmas. And so they accumulate all this stuff. And then they send it off in the summertime or whatever. So by the time they get there, they'll be there to open it with their family members, if you will. Mm-hmm. When I first saw that, the title, I thought, you know, that's exactly what it meant. But I mean, I guess it means a lot to a lot of different people. You know, all kinds of Filipinos, I guess, have different experiences with these boxes, don't they?
Absolutely. I think it's a tradition. I think it's a practice that's rooted deeply in cultural practices pre-70s, 80s. I think that as Filipinos, with our heritage, we are... travelers by nature, and we go through a journey, and then we come back to family, which is very important in our culture, come back to family and bring something that represents the journey so far, or, thinking about a loved one. And so when I think about these Balikbayan boxes, staying there for a while, you have this kind of idea of what your loved ones might like, and also what you feel, it is you who have curated that Balikbayan box. But to the receiver, as time passes, it's kind of like a little time capsule to me as well, where, receiving a Balikbayan box myself, when I would receive a Barbie doll, I would definitely feel like, wow, I have definitely aged out. I don't know if my grandparents know me that well anymore. Or when my cousins give me a hand-me-down of a shirt from Disneyland, I don't actually watch Disney shows. They don't interest me. So it's a very interesting assumption. And so you kind of learn about each other through pieces of objects, and definitely that is parts of what the show is about.
Yeah, I've had family members whose parents have, say, sent their things that they've outgrown, clothes, toys, etc. And they go back to the Philippines for vacation, and they see all this stuff, and it is like a time capsule to them to see all the things that they were interested in 5-6 years ago being used and you know in the houses of their loved ones in the Philippines.
And so, yeah, you're kind of taking a piece of yourself when you have things that you don't want anymore, or things that you think your cousin might like or other family members might like. And so, yeah, when you do go back, it's various pieces of yourself all over the family home, all over, like, you know, the province and stuff like that when you come back. So it's a very beautiful practice, and I feel like objects have this ability to continue to hold memory, even for those who have passed on. I remember, like, you know, I had a family member who's passed on, but I have a pasalubong from her, and so just remembering her and putting the memory and meaning of her on an object is very comforting, and also a great reminder, you know, you are loved, and it just continues on through the object. So I hope that the audience also feels that and think about a loved one that's beyond physical reach.
Indeed. So as I read the notes on the show, it is an interactive show for the audience as well, is it?
It is an interactive show. I think the importance, if I'm going to do a show about pasalubong, I might as well reach out to the audience and say, I have a pasalubong for you. And so this is also part cultural exchange. What is it like to receive a present from, you know, me, a Filipino, who has an understanding of perhaps what I think a pasalubong is for someone who maybe from out of town. And so my pasalubong is something super local, something that I enjoy, I savor, and I am just meeting this person. So the practice of cultural gift giving is also shared amongst the audience. So you might have some chocolates in the when you watch the show.
That's something to look forward to, yeah. So, you know, you talk about giving a present to somebody. After a while, though, it can be an obligation. I meant to write this down. There's this guy in Toronto who has an Instagram account who these are skits that he does of him, I guess, and interacting with his mother. And every time he brings home a new pair of shoes or a shirt or something like that, his mother automatically assumes that, you know, this is something that she can send back to relatives in the Philippines. And I forget the guy's name. He's a very funny guy. It automatically goes into the resentment that somebody from this part of the world might feel when their stuff has to go to people who obviously need it, who obviously deserve it, perhaps more than you know, a guy in Toronto, right? Did you go into that resentment that automatically, I guess, that some of us have felt over the years, say?
Absolutely. I touch up on it just a little in terms of a little, not really thinking about the present moment, no pun intended, but not really thinking about the present moment, but often thinking about a person on the other side. Oftentimes when we cross that bridge and find that the grass is on greener on the other side, people process guilt very differently. So when, you know, an individual feels so much guilt because they are on the greener grass, we cope with it in a very different way. We don't see what's in front of us. We're often looking behind us when that guilt consumes us unconsciously. And so that happens with various different individuals to various different degrees. And so the absent-mindedness of even grabbing buying a present for someone and not knowing what they like anymore, but you're just going to buy it because, you know, you assume that they'll like it, or like just a present. It's just a present, right? And so the absent-mindedness of that is touched upon during the show. And of course, the people that we leave behind, it's definitely heartbreaking. But at the same time, there are people who are in front of us, willing, wanting to be loved as well. And unfortunately, lots of generational trauma occurs when we think about buying boxes as well. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the guilt, that's something that's wrapped up in being Filipino. I guess that comes from the Catholic part as well. It's wrapped up in the culture, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the Catholic part, we were always told to pray for forgiveness, even though as a kid I'm like, I don't know what I did wrong. But also, I think the Bayanihan concept of, like, we're all together. Mm. It's so beautiful when we all do come together to care for the community, but it also has a swing on the other side where, when one person kind of peeks out a little bit out of the community to rise and to shine, it's like it's also assumed that that person must share that light to the rest of the community, yeah. Not knowing that perhaps that person is under a lot of pressure and needs to just focus on the rise and the shine, and we'll come back to the community later. So there is that shared obligation, and of course the negative swing of the concept of Bayanihan.
Yeah, indeed. I went into one of these grocery stores on Fraser Street recently to pick up, I can't remember, it was something small, and I saw that they had these boxes that one could pick up. And take home. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm assuming I'm older than you, and I think I am. the boxes have gotten smaller over the years, have they?
I believe. I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's inflation. Inflation, and it's also in terms of perhaps practicality, because with globalization, there are more things available in the Philippines, and we don't know what the tariffs are going to do, but in terms of like what is available now, I think Filipino tastes have been a little bit different, and perhaps the economy or perhaps the migration trends are often changing as well. Just thinking about who gets to come to Canada now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that, yeah, you, and again, this is my experience seeing other people's experiences on Instagram, is that vacationing, say, in the United States or in Canada especially, that's something that didn't happen probably 20 years ago.
No, absolutely not. So there's that, the separation just feels so much, you just feel that so much more, and getting to the Philippines is it's a lot more convenient now. So and of course, like, we used to have like these phone cards, and you had to call people at a certain time, and you had to keep watch of the time, but now there's free platforms where you can talk to people and stuff like that. But the practice of sending a balikbayan box, I feel like, has become more of a traditional thing right before Christmas. And then, there's folks who, I've watched YouTube videos of people, like, how to pack a balikbayan box. And I think it's very fun as well for some people who have that time. And it does take a lot of time going to Costco and, like, picking it out and then playing Tetris with a box and how to wrap this giant bottle of ketchup so it doesn't explode. Could be really fun could be a fun activity.
Yeah, that's the other thing I didn't get, or I still don't understand, is that if I wanted to send, say, a parcel of books here in Vancouver to somebody, let alone across Canada, it would cost a hell of a lot more than if I sent a large box of stuff to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and people in that business are still making money, obviously, otherwise they wouldn't do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's good business. I mean, Filipinos, they love, I think, like, gift-giving is a huge love language of our culture.
Yeah, indeed. You gave an interview recently with Charlie Smith.
I did.
And there's a list that Charlie put in the piece of all these Filipino artists. Colleagues of yours, and I was struck by just how many of them there are now, and there probably wasn't that 10 years ago, was there?
I mean, 10 years ago, I think there were, the number was definitely less, but also the Filipino artists back then, they had to, like, you know, it was much harder to become or be more of an established artist. And the established artist, like, a shout out to, like, Alvin Tolentino, who has been at this for a long time. It's a hard climb just being an artist alone, but then also with the weight and expectation of, now we're in Canada, now you got to, like, be serious and be a doctor and have a recognizable, stable job. It's very hard to also juggle, because then, you know, in our culture, we want to stay connected to family. And so being an artist is another added point of contention. Mm. So, and I don't blame anyone who wasn't able to be an artist full time. It's never too late. They can always come back and be an artist full time after they retire their careers. I absolutely encourage at any age, any Filipino at any age can become an artist again. So, yeah. And now there's more and more. I think there's more encouragement, and I think the generation is getting older too here. Uh-huh. I mean, in the Philippines, in the U.S., for example, in Daly City, the second gen Filipino culture is booming because it's a much older immigrant population. Yeah. Whereas there, you could probably have third generation Filipinos there. Where right. here, it's still pretty quite young. But I am so excited for the Filipino wave that's happening right now in Vancouver.
Yeah, I saw that list of names, and I've interviewed some of these people before on the show, and I was struck by just the number of disciplines that you all work in. I mean, we're talking today about a theater piece. You mentioned Alvin, you know, that's stage and dance. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these folks work in film, mm-hmm. television. I mean, it really is a great time, isn't it? I mean, it's not a great time in general around the world, but I mean, in terms of what we're talking about in the arts, mm-hmm. but you know, then again, the arts is a very precarious funding model altogether. It is nice to see, isn't it, that people of our background are making it, say.
Yeah, and actually challenging what does it mean to create work as a Filipino, and kind of breaking down those stereotypical barriers of that, what our, as first generation, I'm an immigrant, so first generation Filipino, what are the tastes of what Filipinos like? And then also, as you stay longer in Canada, and, you know, sometimes you make that transition where you are in Canada more than you lived in the Philippines. And so there's kind of that bridge culture that you embody, and so you as an artist will have to own that type of work that you make that's less Filipino but more hybridized. So, for example, Ralph Escamillan, who's also a dancer, works with costume, sculptural, beautiful sculptural costumes, mm-hmm. where he moves in. Ralph was born here, but Ralph has done so much research, because that's also a way of feeling home and culturally connected to the Philippines. And so he's done so much research on, like, weaving and types of fabrics. He did a piece on piña not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So he really went in depth with it. And I love that permission that he gave for everyone else who, for audience members and the artists involved, to really connect with culture and various specific points of view.
You yourself, I've seen your name not just as a performer, but doing other jobs. I guess in the arts, you've learned to become nimble, right?
I think so. Nimble is definitely a word, and adaptive. Mm. Here in the arts, in Vancouver, at least, you kind of have to be a jack of all trades, wear many hats in order to A, continue to work as an artist if you want to work full time, but then also grow as an artist. I feel like I'm a better performer when I come back from a long process of directing. When I direct, I learn so much more as an actor, and so when I get back into the rehearsal hall as an actor, I'm very much conscious of, designers wanting to collaborate. And so it just gets better the more hats you wear and the understanding. And it's always very scary sometimes mm-hmm. when you try something new. But I think that if you continue to be flexible, it just gets better.
Yeah, and it just adds to the process of being an artist, doesn't it? I mean, layer after layer, experience after experience.
Yeah, I think being an artist, too, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are one thing. You don't, if you say, oh, I'm an actor, you don't have to be an actor for 30 years. You can continue to evolve. And so I encourage that permission for anyone.
Well, what do you hope people will get out of seeing It Is for When You Meet Me? I mean, there are two shows upcoming here at the Russian Hall. I mean, in terms of the how you want the audience to feel, I know that that's a loaded question for a performer, but there's obviously something that you'd like us to come away with. I'm wondering if you have an idea what that might be.
Yeah, definitely. I think that for folks who aren't familiar with Billy Bind Boxes and they see it, they hopefully when they come out of the show, when they see one, they get this warm feeling of thinking about a loved one that they haven't been in touch with for a long time. And so that's a invitation to kind of partake in Filipino culture in a very very thoughtful way. And then also people coming out of the Russian Hall, hopefully you get a sense of generosity coming from you and also from the universe, really.
Yeah, I'm 43, and so I haven't seen these boxes in a while. They haven't hit my life. But, I mean, right away when I read about the show and the pieces of the sound of unfurling masking tape, and, you know,
yes.
it's almost triggering, if you will.
Yep, lots of masking tape.
And the smell and then, the getting it all tied up and all that, you know. But it brings back a lot of great memories talking today. I so appreciate your time today. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this lovely interview. Hopefully you can catch it. If you can't, that's okay. Hopefully it has a different life in various parts of the greater Vancouver area.
The website for more is at holdonletgo.ca. That's where you can get tickets and information. The show, It Is for When You Meet Me, is on at the Russian Hall Wednesday the 4th, an evening performance, and Saturday the 7th, an afternoon performance. That's on Campbell Street. Angela McPantai joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.